Head rap, head rap. Real men and women should. Let's get this party started. Y'all made it through the whole week. You did it. You should be proud of yourself. You should be happy about everything. And I hope that y'all all work first shift. That means that y'all are actually in the midst right now of starting your weekend. I don't care what you do. Do your happy hour. Kick it with your peoples. Enjoy your paycheck. Pay your bills. Go get that special meal for you and your fam. You know what I'm saying? Eat your crab legs. Peel your shrimp. Drink your beer. Take your shot. Cook your food. Grill your stuff. You know what I mean? Just don't breathe in that nasty-ass air that's coming on the East Coast. That's what I don't want you to do. Just don't mess with that nasty-ass air, yo. Tonight on the Daily Go Get 'Em Ism Show, we talking about they used to say that crack. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, remember how they used to be like crack? Yeah, that's what they used to say. Crack unalives you. Crack deletes you. Crack will make you not be here on this earth anymore. They used to say it all the time. It was more of a slogan in the 80s, especially in the 80s. And we would hear about celebrities and sports figures and just regular people that we knew, you know what I mean, having heart attacks or whatever, because you know, anybody who has ever used cocaine or knows anything about cocaine knows that it increases your heart rate. Now, whatever they were mixing the crack with or creating the crack with back in the 80s was very potent, and it gave you a rush. And evidently, it was too much for some people who had cardiovascular problems to be able to bear. Allegedly, now that's what was going on in the 80s and the 90s, and we already know the violence that was associated with the crack era, and we're associated with the. There was crack and AIDS going on, and the two seem to be going hand in hand. Even though crack is not an intravenous drug, anybody who has ever used cocaine or knows anything about cocaine knows that cocaine or cocaine derivatives or cocaine additives raise your libido. Yeah, if you on coke and you ain't doing it, something wrong. You know what I mean? So in all of that unprotected sex that is associated with drug use, it's hard to practice safe sex and substance abuse. It's very hard for that to happen. So a lot of people who were using crack also wind up developing or contracting HIV, and some of them went to full-blown AIDS and wind up dying from full-blown AIDS. So that's what the 80s and a lot of the 80s and a lot of the 90s were filled with. Now, the thing about the crack era is that it was so, it engulfed us. It engulfed our attention. So many families and communities were racked with crack use, crack abuse. Every family, I would argue, had a crack user. Most of us had crack abusers. Most of us had straight-up crackheads in our family. You know, getting high all the time, not taking care of their children, having babies that they weren't taking care of, not going to take care of. You know, a lot of people grew up, were raised by their grandparents because of the crack era. And there was a such thing as the crack baby, babies that were born to crack addicted mothers who actually were showing signs of addiction at birth. And many of those 80s babies are those crack babies of yesterday. And many of them have had developmental problems And I'm not going to say that all of the millennials, well, this is the characteristics of most of the millennials these days, but it's not something that you can ignore. It's not something that you could ignore. There were mad community and social problems associated with crack, but crack was making so much money for certain people that it was like you almost had to pick your poison. On one hand, it's a very lucrative occupation if you can get it off. On the other hand, the jail sentences that were associated with crack use and the mortality rate that was associated with crack sales and use, mostly sales, because wherever you have a bunch of fast under the table money going on, you're going to have violence. You're going to have that, and you're going to lose soldiers in the field. That's going to happen, and crack definitely exemplified that fact. So what I'm getting to is this. The money that was made with crack was large and long, baby. It was large and it was long. Long. This is how much money you can make with crack. Money from the floor to the ceiling, how you feeling, lots of stacks, enough to put the coat on your back, a mink or whatever you have, whatever you want. You can smoke the glass, you can smoke the blunt. You can put the crack in the blunt, make you a wooly. In Philly, we called it the turbo, you heard, yo. And it was the kind of stuff that led you down a negative road. You ain't going to live with the load. You ain't ready for what it brings. And it brought down a lot of queens and kings. The thing that I say to y'all, I really mean. I wish that something like that was never on the scene. But you fast forward to 2023. Is it better for you? Is it any better for me? Because the crackheads from back in the day are the crackheads of today. But that's not what's on display. So who is buying all the crack and who's making somebody rich? Because it's not the crack. Not anymore, not for sure, fentanyl, heroin, and weed, that's what's going down with the speed, pills, yeah, that's the new thing that, yeah, so that's what we're talking about tonight. Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this is The Daily Go Get 'Em Ism Show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the And if you can't say Omar with the well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get 'Emism Show all up in your area. And tonight, on this Flashback Friday, thank God it's Friday, we are talking about they used to say that crack kills. That's what they used to say, crack kills. Don't you know crack kills? And they had it written in, like it was written in red, like as if it was written in blood. Y'all remember that? He's like, yo, man, you know, you don't smoke that crack. You know, that'll shorten your lifespan and all that kind of stuff. Well, how come our same uncles and aunties, it seems like the crack users of today have learned how to regulate their crack use. So they're not the crackheads of yesterday. They're not the fiends of yesterday. It seems like now they can get high when they feel like getting high. They ain't got to break into your cars anymore. They don't have to break into your house anymore. They don't have to steal your jewelry. They don't have to, you know, like the crackheads of today, you'd be hard to find one under 60 years old. They're serious. They'd be like 60, 70 years old. Like, what are we doing? Well, I'm sure we can find some of them in their 50s, right? Of course. But the bottom line is you don't see any new crackheads. So So many slang words have spawned since the crack era. Words like trap that still exist. Now, let me tell y'all something about the word trap. Because once we started letting the Southern rappers get their shit off, they started bringing slangs to the culture, like trap, trapping, trapper, trap. And a trap, a lot of people think that that when you're trapping, you're just selling drugs, but that's not what the trap was. The trap was an actual crack house. That's what a trap was, a crack house. And the reason that they called it a trap, it was because when the feds came, or when the ATF came, or when the cops came, or when the SWAT came, they would often be trapped in the crack house because, of course, the cops had all of the areas of escape blocked off. So you couldn't make it out the back door. You couldn't make it out the front door. Any secret entrance that you had, even if you tried to go above and get out of the roof, because, you know, you may have known some drug dealers or seen something on the roof, on the news, where they had bunkers. You know, drug dealers had built bunkers. They had built secret passageways to, whereas if they lived in a row house, they had bought row houses next to each other, so you enter the one on the end, but you could escape on the two or three doors down. Things like that happened, and the cops got hit to that kind of stuff, so they would seize off all areas, and that's where the word trap came from. Now, we've taken the word trap, and we've made it into, oh, yeah, you out there trapping on the corner. No, the corner ain't no trap. We don't even have crack houses anymore. That's one thing that we had in the 80s and the 90s. I'm not so sure we had them anymore in the 2000s. But yeah, words like trap, trapping, trappers, all that kind of stuff. You know, Young Jeezy, Gucci Mane, the Cash Money Ballers, CMB, whatever, Cash Money Millionaires and all that kind of stuff. Definitely No Limit Soldiers. They were all talking about the trap and selling crack. Now I ain't going to say all of the rappers' fortunes were made, but the ones who had claimed to be living that street life, that's what they claimed they made all of their money off of, even before they started selling any records. Yeah, I was getting money out there on the streets, you know, selling keys, moving bricks from here to there, blah, 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 blah. They were portraying themselves, whether it was true or not, to be big-time drug dealers, but that's how they were making their money. And their lifestyle seemed to confirm that with the amount of jewelry that they wore and the way that they were living and still living in the hood. Stuff like that. You know, 22-inch, 24-inch rims, all that kind of stuff. All of that stuff came out of the crack era and from crack sales. You know, the money that they made gave them a lot of access to that. So when today's drug dealers are selling drugs, what are they selling? Because crack is not the drug of choice anymore. It's just not like that anymore. So what are they selling? Now, we know that they're selling a lot of weed legally and illegally. And we know that the weed of today is not the weed of yesterday. They haven't done something to the weed. But I don't know if people are making millions of dollars or high thousands of dollars, you know, selling weed. Because you don't have the same fiend an addiction for weed as you do with the crack. Now, you can look towards heroin, fentanyl, and all that kind of stuff. If we said that crack kills, look at what that heroin, the heroin and the pills are doing. And fentanyl. Fentanyl, look what it's doing. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to DMX, the rapper DMX. Arguably, DMX was definitely one of the greatest rappers that ever walked this earth. Ain't no doubt about that. Whether he's in your top five or not, it doesn't even really matter. The things that he did during the times in the height of his stardom were unprecedented. He was a great rapper. You know, he bridged gap, you know, the, the TV, the movies, the but all without being, you know, that commercial rapper. All without being that, you know, dancing, shiny suit wearing, non-cursing, only, you know, always playing a safe rapper. He was not that. He was gritty. He was grimy. He was straight from the streets. You know, he wore a dog chain around his neck instead of a gold chain around his neck. And he spoke that he claimed to be a dog whisperer. And he prayed to God, you know, for his sins of being on the street. He talked about robbing people and shooting people and being an actual drug user. Not a DMX never talked about selling drugs, ever. He talked about actually using drugs, sniffing an ounce of raw. You know, he was very forthcoming about his life in drug use. Of course, he would try to give you the impression that he had it under control. But the reason that I bring up DMX is because the honesty that he displayed in the way that he lived his life and being and actually being one of those old head crack users. You know, for those of y'all who don't know, he started using crack at the age of 13 years old when somebody put the crack inside of a blunt that he had smoked. And it was pretty much on with him ever since then. So can you imagine growing up being a crackhead, going to group homes, high schools, making it into adulthood, having children, getting record deals, blowing up, going all around the world, and all of it, going to jail multiple times before his deal, during his deal, after his deal. Can you imagine all of that being on crack all of that time? Well, imagine his demise in 2020. I'm sorry, 2021. No. Yeah, 2021, right? Yeah. Imagine his demise in 2021 and not from being from crack. Not from being from crack. It's believed that, according to his toxicology report, the damn fentanyl. The fentanyl. Yet where are the fentanyl kills slogans? Where are the stay away from the heroin? Blah, 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 blah. Where are our campaigns for the warnings like we had with the war on drugs and all of the measures that were taken to combat the crack epidemic? Where is that? Where is that energy towards the opioid crisis? Where is that? All right. In my mind, everything I'm talking to y'all about is still my intro, really. Because what I really want to talk about is they used to say that crack kills. Well, crack didn't kill anybody that I know. But you know what did kill them? Their underlying problems that they may have developed during their crack use that didn't actually kill them until they stopped using the crack. That's the phenomenon I want to talk about for a minute, y'all. How many of y'all have crackheads or ex-crackheads in y'all family that did not get sick from any ailment that they suffer from until they got clean off of crack? Until they went and did their 90 days and was walking on calf legs and walking off their addiction and rocking their NA chain. This is not an NA chain. This is actually a Mayan's son. Anyway, how many of y'all have relatives that didn't get sick while they were using crack, but it seems like as soon as they stopped using crack, that's when their complications with their diabetes came to get them, when their kidney problems started to become an issue, when their heart problems, cardiovascular problems, problems associated with their liver, gastrointestinal problems, all the things going on in the inside of their body, all of their organ trouble, never seemed to be a problem all those years that they were smoking the crack. But it seemed like soon as they got clean off of them drugs, soon as they got clean off of crack, then it was like, or they got really, really sick. It can't only be me. It can't be. It can't be. It can't be only me. It can't be only me, but it is me. And I see that it caused a problem for us. We got to do something. Can't keep them on the crack now, but when they back down from being in the addicted state, we got clean. Wait, now you're sick. All them years you was all right off of it. Yo, just seems a little crazy, seems a little odd. It seems like the way the world works is odd. And you got to do better for yourself when you stop using crack. Now you got the bad health. Well, it ain't supposed to go down like that, but it is. Got to do something about that. Yo, what we going to do for you and me and how we're going to work out, we'll see. Yo, only time tells. I say the hell is going on now. Yo, it's bond. Yo, B-O-N-D, the bond that you had with the C-R-A-C-K. Hey! Yo, never me, never you, yo, not us too, but those associated with us, things make me cuss. You want your people to be all right, and I want mine, and I want the sun always to shine for everybody that's associated with me and mine. Yeah, I'm just asking a couple of questions and making a couple of suggestions. Crack era ain't like the opioid crisis. They trying to take us out like ISIS. Yo, you know what I'm talking about, the mythological creatures. Maybe they was really a god, but seems hard. And the god that we trying to concentrate on and to rely on, you know, I'm buying on to the epidemic, pandemic, everything ends with in it. Got something in it. All right. Cal Chamberlain, she says, I have a few that I know. You know, it was a crazy situation. It really was. It was a crazy situation. You know, it's 2023. And you know how fast those 23 years seems to have passed. Like, when you think about it, you know how our parents, grandparents were born in the 20s, the 1920s. You realize we are in the 20s? We're in those 20s. That was 100 years ago. So your grandmother, your grandfather is probably not here anymore. They grew up in the 1920s. And here we are in the 2020s. But in the beginning of this century, Crack was still going on, and it was strong. Well, drugs are still being sold, and people are still being locked up, and people are still perishing under the use of these substances. So, but what are we doing? What are we doing? I remember my man in 1995, because, you know, I can't talk about crack without talking about AIDS. I can't talk about crack without talking about AIDS and HIV. Now, I remember because the crack and the HIV are the things that made up the biggest problems of the 80s and the 90s. You could not escape the drug use, the deterioration of our families and our neighborhoods because of crack use, and the fear that we had of contracting HIV, because both of those were spelling out for everybody who was doing that. That's the way it seems. But HIV, remember, it used to be a 5-year death sentence. Now it's like crack and AIDS seem to be like something, you know, It'll hurt you, but it won't kill you. Your reputation will take more of a hit than your actual health will. We never thought that we would see that day. And in the 80s and the 90s, we weren't seeing those days. You know, you had to watch who you had sex with. You still always should. But you know, you had to watch who you had sex with, who you used drugs with, who you swapped blood with. Shout out to Arthur Ashe. Rest in peace, Arthur Ashe. You know, Arthur Ashe passed in like, what, 1990 or 1989 or whatever? Arthur Ashe, I don't know, was Arthur Ashe gay? I don't know. But I know that he caught it because he received a blood transfusion. He contracted AIDS because he got a blood transfusion. And talk about being unlucky. Great tennis player. Great black tennis player. Yeah. You look at crack, you look at AIDS nowadays, and it's like, no, we can actually fix this. So where are all the drug dealers making all their money? What are they selling? What are they selling? They still have crack, but I don't think that's what paying their bills, so to speak. That's not what's keeping their units alive. That's not the main ingredient of their financial portfolio. Are they selling pills? Possibly. Drug dealers have always sold pills, but the pills weren't what was paying the bills. You wasn't paying your bills with a whole lot of pills, but the pills right now probably pay the bills. But you get strung out on pills, and I know that you will get sick as a dog and be laying like a log. Now, we can't say that pill users that we know have never been sick. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, man. I don't ever remember seeing a crackhead laid up in the bed, you know, sniffling, sneezing, coughing, stuffy head, fever, having crack. I don't remember seeing it. I mean, did you ever see a crackhead with a cold? Now, look, I'm joking around a little bit. But at the same time, I'm scratching my head a little bit. Like, they was always busy trying to, you know, get another hit. You know, if you employed a crackhead as an employee, whether it was cutting your grass, mowing your lawn, which is the same as cutting your grass, cutting your hedges, painting your house, fixing walls, doing your plumbing. One thing that you had to be prepared to do if you were dealing with a crackhead is that you're going to have to make several payments to him throughout the day. Crackheads don't make it from the beginning of their shift to the end of their shift without no money in between. You got to pay. So crackheads don't go for that getting paid once a week thing. They get paid like once a day or sometimes twice a day. They tell you, yeah, I mean, I just want to go get a sandwich. A sandwich for a crackhead is a hit. They going to go get their hit so they can come back and finish their motivation. You know what I'm talking about? TK Wright says, crackheads are great mechanics. Yes, they are. And so economical. That's where the $25 brake special came from, out in front of the AutoZone. Yeah, I put those, yeah, you buy the brakes, and I put your brakes on expertly for $25. Oh, you need back brakes too? $50. Oh, you need rotors too? $75. Oh, you need rotors all around? $85. That's how it went. You know, So we can talk all day about what crack took away from our community. That's what it gave us. That's what it gave us. Shoot. The crackhead mechanics gave us the cheap mechanic prices. Then the fresh off of crack use, or the I don't smoke crack no more or get high no more crackheads or mechanics. Now they came and drove up the price. Let's see, I got my brakes. I got brakes put on about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago to a month ago. And it was just the back brakes. And he wanted 50. I was like, what happened to 25? It was 50. Why? Because he wasn't on the crack. He wasn't on the crack. TK Wright says, just make sure you get the bulk of the work done up front. Oh, a crackhead will fit. I'll tell you this. A crackhead is a better contractor than most contractors are. You know how with contractors, you hire contractors, and this is the knock on a lot of black contractors. They'll do the work, but they'll leave one thing unfinished. And if you've paid them all the money, then they ain't coming back. Well, with a crackhead is always coming back, whether you paid them a partial payment or whether you gave them back all the money. And y'all ain't going to tell me I'm lying about this, because I know this for a fact. It's because a crackhead is sort of like a stray cat. You know, if you feed a stray cat, that stray cat is going to, that you own that cat. That's your cat. When you get up in the morning, that cat is going to be at your doorstep. Like, yo, what up? Yo, you got some more of that Nine Lives, that Friskies, that, you know, it don't matter. Hard, soft, it don't matter. I'm here. What's up? You want some head? Here, go ahead. Take your head.
Go ahead.
Here, under the chin. Mm-hmm. Back here. Right there between the shoulder blades, you know. Yeah. Oh, behind the ear. Yeah. Matter of fact, let me rub up against you a little bit. Let me rub up against you. Make sure that you understand you belong to me. Yeah. Yeah. That's what a stray cat does, and that's what a crackhead does, too. So a crackhead will finish the job that they did for you. They'll come back to see what else you need done, because they know they gave you a price to the point where you're going to want to get everything in your house done. So originally, all you wanted was your grass cut. But then they found out that you know how to put up some sheet. And then they found out that you know how to fix some leaks. And then they found out that you know how to put some wires together and do a little electricity. Safe, too. And then they found out that you know how to put brakes on the car. And then they found that... don't nobody got more trade skills than a crackhead? Nobody. Nobody. And crackheads do learn how to make a living. So that clean contractor that you signed the contract with and signed up to do all of this specific work, yeah, you paid him off and you never saw him again, because he ain't coming back and sending his crew back that he can't pay, because he done already paid them and spent his portion. But that crackhead, they like, whatever you need me, just give me a call. Here, let me give you my phone number. They give you a cell phone number, then probably by the time you call it, you know, it's going to be off. But don't worry about it being off, because he's coming back around the corner. Or you can just go around the corner. You're going to see him. He going to be around the corner doing some work for somebody else. But as soon as he gets finished done with them, he'll come back around and hook you up. All you got to do is feed him a little crack money all day. So you give him a little bit in the beginning. He'll start on your shit. Get it popping. Around lunchtime, throw him a couple of dollars. Not a lot. $10, $15, enough to get a couple of hits. He keep it going. Walk, work all the way into the night. You know, that kind of stuff. And now, I'm not trying to promote crack use, crack addiction, or anything like that. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling the truth. This is how it happened. This is how it go. The lazy crackheads that I knew, they were usually using something else. Carol says, they put a lot of legit mechanics out of business. That's because them legit mechanics needed to be out of business. They was charging too much goddamn money. And they wasn't, and it seemed like they was fixing your cars so they would break again. Meanwhile, these crackheads was fixing your cars so it would run again. I heard y'all wrote down, I hope y'all wrote down what I said. Those legit mechanics was fixing your car so it would break again. Them crackheads was fixing your car so it would run again. What is a crackhead mechanic? That's a mechanic that's not ASE set certified. What is a crackhead contractor? That's a contractor that don't have no contract, but they're going to tell you exactly what they're going to do and act. Yo, you need this fixed. You need me to put up a light fixture. You need me to fix these walls and these ceilings. Yo, give me about 500 and I make sure I do it. You won't be disappointed. You're going to like it. Yo, you speaking of pointed, I can point them bricks for you and do the stucco for you. All you got to do is give me the supplies because I don't have the supplies no more. I got robbed. Yeah. And I can fix your roof. I can fix your roof. I see that sewage coming up on your curb and in front of your house. So I can fix that. I'll fix it before Eleanor comes. Don't worry about it. You know where I come from. Yeah, come around the crib and get me. We're going to plunge that thing out in front. You'll see. We going to get that drain free. Yeah, and it's going to be pain free. I need $30 to do it. Plus, I need the tool. Yo, let's go to the hardware store, baby. Vita B, what's going on? Vita B. V. Yeah. So now let me tell y'all, I'm only talking about the local crackheads now. But you don't hear, like, hip hop gave us a clear window to the drug culture, and you know, like I said, the rappers in the early 2000s were always talking about trapping and fiends and how much money they made and, you know, doing jail time, fed time and all that kind of stuff. They ain't really talking like that. They talking about trapping, but they ain't talking about trapping the same way they was talking about trapping. Now most of it is, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to. Because it ain't the same game. So what's the game that's being played? My man that was using crack, 1995. I remember in 1995, I had a truck and he used to wash and wax my truck for like $20, some old crazy number like that, like $20. And, you know, he was clean off of crack. And I remember when he went to the doctor, he came back and he was real sad because he had contracted HIV. And I was like, damn. I remember feeling so sorry for him, like, shit. And after a while, it seemed like he relapsed and started using crack again. And you know, he was so upset that he had contracted HIV because he was like, you know, he was like, yo, oh, I ain't, you know, I wasn't no needle user. I didn't do nothing like that. That's why I was like surprised that I caught HIV. Yeah, well, you know, regular heterosexual sex causes HIV too. But I wasn't going to give it up like that. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I felt for him. because he was a good dude. Fast forward years later, maybe 9, 10 years later, and I saw him again. And it was like, first of all, he was still alive. I was like, yeah, he was still alive. Now, I don't know about till this day, but he was alive at the time, and he seemed alive and well. And those are the things that we had to deal with during the crack epidemic. BDB says, crack does kill, but sadly there are a lot of functioning addicts all around us. Even the medical office is giving us physicals and giving surgeries to people. So how exactly is the crack killing? There's so little cocaine in the crack. I mean, little. I think there was a lot of cocaine in the crack in the 80s. But today's crack, little. Most of it is cut. And that little rock, how much cocaine could be in that little rock? Think about it. A little rock. It's a little rock. Little. It sure ain't 90% cocaine in that thing. That's what it ain't. So, how many hits do you have to take before you are even coming close to what you would have ingested had you been snorting? Whitney Houston. Now, even though the details of her departure are sketchy at best, and they said that she had cocaine in her system when she passed, but we know for a fact that she was trying to clean up her life and she was getting clean. But is it safe to say that when Whitney was using, and I'm just going to say that Whitney was using, because for some reason, it's hard for me to accept that she was smoking crack. And you know why? Because she could afford not to. That's why when she said crack is whack, I believed her. Like, she looking at it like crack is a, that's what people use when they can't afford the powder. I buy keys of my shit and just, you know, go, I just get busy. I ain't got to smoke no crack. I ain't got to be getting no nickel bags, dime bags or nothing like that. I don't need to smoke no crack. I sniff. So I'm just going to say this because some people insist that Whitney admitted that she smoked crack. When I saw her in the interview, they said that she came back and did another interview where she admitted that she smoked crack. Well, I didn't see that one. I'm just being honest. I didn't see where she admitted that she smoked crack. But I did see where she admitted that she used powder cocaine. And all of in the way that she acted definitely displayed that. All right. But even though the details of her passing are sketchy, one thing we know is that she was trying to get clean. And that when she was using all of those years when we didn't know that she was using, boy, what a voice. Huh? You know, that's when we got the, I don't know if she was using all the way back in the You Give Good Love days and Saving All My Love for You. I don't know if she was using all the way back then. I actually don't think so. But by the time she got to the, I'm Your Baby Tonight and You're All the Man I Need and that famous cover that sold more records than anybody else ever, I Will Always Love You. Isn't that the name of it? For you, I will always. Isn't that the name of the song? You know, the cover. Dolly Parton did it originally. I Will Always Love You, right? I think it was I Will Always Love You. Anyway, that's when we, when she was using, that's when we got the best, that's when we got the famous national anthem, you know what I mean? That's when we got that, soon as Whitney tried to get clean. Now she ain't got no voice. Now she's suspect. Now people saying that, you know, she's done. She couldn't hit those notes anymore. She might have needed the crack. She needed that crack. What's going on, Linda Lawrence? Linda Lawrence. Okay, let me see. Vita B says, I saw my best friend go down quickly a year ago after just a couple of times smoking it with a guy she met. She swore she was fine and could quit. How long has she been smoking? Like, she started smoking crack in this era? She says, the lies and stories a smoker will come up with to get what they want is crazy. But they deliver, too. Cheap prices often come with a couple of lies, false promises and stuff. But the people who really suffer were the children of the 80s and 90s that were born to crack-addicted mothers that unfortunately were left to fend for themselves in their homes or in foster homes and you know, grandmama house and grandmothers passed away. You know, imagine, you know, your mom being on drugs. You 6 or 7 years old, your mom is on drugs. She don't have time to be taking care of you because she out doing what she does. Your grandmother takes care of you and raise you with love and all of that, but your grandmother passes when you like 12, 13, 14 years old, and you just out here. You just out here. You ain't out of high school yet. You know, your mom might not be available for you. Or even if she was halfway available, you go and be with your crack addicted mom, and it's not a good look. Not a good look. You got your little job. You buy your little Jordache jeans, Sergio Valente. You buy your little rings, your little earrings, and all that. Your mom's stealing your shit. She acting all crazy. She embarrassing you. You 14, 15 years old, 16 years old. Yeah, the children suffered. The children suffered the most during the crack era. We don't look at it that way, but I do. Because, you know, growing up in a state where you have to be embarrassed and humiliated because of what somebody else is doing that's close to you. Hard living, baby. Ovita B says, she lied about it. Apparently 10 years ago, she tried angel dust. Well, angel dust and crack ain't the same thing. Not nearly. You ain't going to have nobody using angel dust for no 2-3 decades. That's what's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Too potent, too crazy. But evidently, you can have that with a crackhead. With the crack. Linda Lawrence says, environments, we made it through that BS. Crack addicted daddies was worse. You know, I would say that crack addicted daddies was bad, but not worse. Because unfortunately, in our community, in the black community, we got too used to not having the father in the home anyway. But if you don't have a mother in the home, you ain't got a home. Unfortunately, you can make it a home without a father in the home. And as a black man, believe me, I don't like to say this. And I sure as hell don't like to mean it. But I know that you can still have a good, functioning, healthy household without a man in it. But you can't do it without a mother. You ain't going to have no good, functioning household if the matriarch, if the foundation, if the nine-month baby carrier of the family ain't there. It can't be done. Not if she's on drugs. We know that the black mother will do anything to take care of their children and will do anything to keep their children. But not if they on crack, they won't. The regular ratchet mom ain't going to let her children be taken away from her. But the crack addicted mom, well, yeah, I'm clean. I've been clean for 10 months, and I'm trying to get my babies back. You know, that's my main concentration right now. I'm just trying to get my kids back. I've seen it. I've seen the struggle. That shit is, it's inspiring on one end, and it's sad as hell on the other end. Yeah, I mean, you know, because once you get off of the crack, not only does your body suffer, because now it has to deal with what you have done to it all of those years. It has to deal with the abuse that you have inflicted upon it all of those years. But the other thing is, now you have to deal with what you have done and the way that you have affected your family, your community, your friends, everything and everybody around you, all the lies you've told, all the things that you stole, all the promises that you've made and broken, all of the times you were supposed to show up and didn't show up, all of the times that you said that you would complete things and didn't come through. You got to deal with all of that. And the fact that now your kids have gotten older and have grown up without you, so they don't really think they need you. And some of them are mad at you because you weren't there in their formative years. You weren't there when they needed you. You weren't there when they got their first period. You weren't there when they first got this girl knocked up or when they thought that she got pregnant and she didn't, but, you know, not the first time. But you weren't there. You weren't there when they had to fight through what they had to fight through and when they were having problems in school and when they felt like the world was against them and like it was raining every day and like they were just born to die. You weren't there. You weren't there to support them. You was doing your own thing. And sure, you were dealing with your own depression and dealing with your own shit, but it was your own shit. And a mother, a good mother, a good parent, but definitely a good mother, handles those things. But not a crack, not a crack addict one. Vita B says, mothers are the nurturers. She says, fact, a friend left her kids with me 2 months while she was nowhere to be found. So sad. She was embarrassed and ashamed. Who pays the bills in an apartment or in a house when the mom is spending all the money on crack? Who pays the bills? So now you got your kids growing up. They got holes in their jeans and their sneakers and they looking like bums and they got to go to school getting teased about that. Then they come home. The crib ain't got no light. Barely any food in the house. Ain't got no water running. Cold in the house. Yeah, crack era allowed all of that. And that's all until your landlord finally puts you out. Where you go? Go to your grandmother house. Go to your aunt house. Go to a friend of yours whose mom might have taken you in. So a parent being on crack has given everybody else a responsibility or added responsibility that they didn't earn themselves. Shout out to all the grandmothers that raised their grandkids like they was their kids. Shout out to all of the aunties who did the same thing, uncles too. Shout out to all of the extended family members that weren't even blood family members or real family members, but that acted as family members. Shout out to all of the friends of the mothers of the friends of friends whose mothers was on crack. And they said, well, you know what? We got room here. They can stay here. They can stay here. They parents ain't got them. We got them. So shout out to the Miss Kims. Shout out to the Miss Tracy's. Shout out to the Miss Regina's. Shout out to the Miss Barbara's. Shout out to the Miss and Mr. whoever who looked out. They ain't have to do that shit. They ain't have to do it, but they did it. Shout out to the good foster parents. The good ones, not them random motherfuckers that's doing it for the check. Now, I ain't no shout outs for them. But the real ones. The real ones who still give visits to this day. Yeah, well, I'm gonna go see my mom. She was really my foster mom, but she held it down for me. Shout out to them. But that's what the crack era gave us, baby. That's what the crack era gave us. Vita says, you don't. 9 times out of 10, you lose it all. That's right. Your landlord ain't trying to hear, you know, how you don't have no money for the rent. One thing is for sure, your landlord ain't taking you in, and they ain't reducing the rent, and they ain't letting you live nowhere for free. And they ain't wrong for that. That's how they make a living. That's how they put food on their table. That's how they feed their family. You know, people think landlords are rich and shit. They sure ain't rich by nobody paying them. You housing everybody, paying your mortgage, paying your taxes and all of that, and L&I violations and fees and stuff. You going broke but behind trying to be there for your people. Shit. I said shit. Vita B saying, you describing everything I witnessed. Broke my heart knowing these 8 years to see them wearing clothes two sizes too small while the mother dressed to a T and neglected everything. Shit. The mother was dressed to a T. Well, ain't that some shit? Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do some people born on this glorious, glorious, glorious. Nice. And they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out of the box. Memo Pad, turning 49 years old today, and Karima Yelverton, happy birthday to you, and Teresa Williams, happy birthday to you, and Melissa Johnson, happy birthday to you, and Thomas Crawford, turning 53 years old today, happy birthday to you, and Machado Katia, turning 43 years old today, and Jamaica Brinson, turning 51 years old today, and Isabel Martinez, happy birthday to you, and Coolest Keisha, turning 34 years old today, and Lynette Matarus, happy birthday to you, and Joanne Taylor, turning 65 years old today, and Phoenix Banner, turning 53 years old today, and last but not least, a man that I've known since like 1982, my man Al Hooper, happy birthday to you. I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes out to any and everybody born on this glorious, glorious, glorious June 9th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on and do the damn, the rock out, rock on, do the damn, rock out, rock on and do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. I said listen. The crack era did a, listen, I want to piggyback off of what I was talking about with Miss Kim, Miss Regina, Miss Tracy, Miss Michelle, Miss Barbara, Miss this, Miss that, Miss any name that ends with an A or a Y. You know what I mean? Miss all y'all. I got to give y'all a special shout out because y'all raised children that were not birthed by y'all and that y'all probably didn't even meet until they were either little kids, like 8, 9 years old, and sometimes teenagers. And you look at the dynamics of a family. Normally in a family, there's favoritism and things like that. So you'll see sometimes certain children are treated better than other children. And especially in situations where you have multiple parents, like they don't all have the same father, they don't all have the same mother. You see blended families obviously having a break in the equality of the way that they are treated. But with these, you'd be hard pressed to find a situation where a family took in a teenager or a child that wasn't theirs, basically rescued the child and didn't treat them as well as they treated their other blood born children. So I have to give an extended shout out to them. I've never heard somebody who was living with somebody because their mom wasn't there for them because they was on drugs. I've never heard them say, yeah, I don't know, Miss Lisa don't be treating me the same or treat me as good as she treat her daughters and sons. It ain't never like that. It seems to me like those bonus parents be working harder to make sure that they either have the playing field even or that they make sure that they never feel left out because they know that from their family, they already been left out. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow for another Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So y'all make sure y'all come through. Y'all make sure y'all come through. We got it. So Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah.